Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies exists to form servant leaders in Christian worship renewal and education through graduate academic praxis, grounded in biblical, historical, theological, cultural, and missiological reflection in community. Yesterday, we began talking about the very headwaters of the statement, what it means to be a servant leader. And I hope that in each of these talks, I don't stray too far from that. I hope that each component, each little element, each gem that's been set into this constellation of gems that is our mission statement will undergird and help flesh out how we're supposed to be being formed as servant leaders and what servant leadership is. This morning we're talking about that servant leadership being formed, servant leaders being formed in worship renewal. Well, worship renewal is kind of an interesting buzzword, a buzz phrase. It means different things to different people. Some people get very excited when they hear the term worship renewal. Other people make the sign of the cross and want to run to the nearest closet and hide. Worship renewal can be a dangerous thing. Perhaps like the lion Aslan, he's not safe, but he's good. Renewal is a good thing. A phrase that I'm sure I'd read it in years gone by, but I'm not sure I really grabbed hold of it until at some point along these 11 years of my IWS sojourn, is the great battle cry of the Reformation, Semper Reformanda. Always reform, always renew. And I've had interesting conversations with some of my Reform friends that it's kind of ironic that the people who bear the name Reform don't seem to be busy about the task of always reforming. But in the last year or so, I forget, Jim, how long we've been talking about this, but the last year or so, Jim Hart and I have been kicking around another term rather than Semper Reformanda, perhaps a sister term in some way, the Latin phrase Semper Renovo. Semper Renovo, as opposed to or distinguished from always reform, it's the phrase always renew. Always renew. Well, what's the difference in reforming and renewing? Well, you can reform something by changing its structure, moving the pieces around, changing the exterior. It can imply something happening within, but it can also just have to do with external things, exterior things, the visible things, the tangible things, the mechanical things, the outward things. Renewing implies something much more organic, something much more internal, something much more mysterious, something within. I love all the scriptures that end up using the word renew, whatever the original, the various words in Hebrew or Greek that end up getting rendered renew. I love all that whole family of renew verses. Let this mind be in you. Be renewed. Let your minds be renewed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When you hear that, just hear the word renew and hear it in the context of the verses that say it, you get a sense of a fresh wind blowing through and an anointing oil changing something from within. And typically, once something does begin to change from within, you do have to change some things on the outside. If the inner person changes and nothing changes on the outside, if you renew and you don't reform, then you haven't completed the task. We haven't really responded to the one who is renewing us, the one who is singing over us, dancing over us, pleading, weeping, interceding for us, the one who is fathering us, the one who is also mothering us, the one who is being everything to us, renewing us, pouring himself out for us, pouring himself into us. If we just receive that and don't begin to reform, don't change anything on the outside, we fail. How do we do our part? How do we respond to the renewing that's going on within us? One admonition that comes to mind is John's letter to the church at Ephesus in Revelation. Remember where we have fallen from. Repent from over that fall and return to the first love and the first works. Jeremiah talked about it too. Ask for the ancient paths. Go back. Be renewed. Be restored. I love one of my favorite lines, although it's really hard to choose from all the writing of Bob Dylan, because there's so much wit, there's so much depth, there's so much sarcasm, delightful sarcasm. But one of my favorite phrases of his is this: he or she, he not busy being born is busy dying. He not busy being born is busy dying. And I think that's really true. If we're not busy about the task of being renewed, kneeling, not just physically, but in our hearts, in our spirits, in our minds, before our Maker, and letting that healing oil touch us, letting that breath blow out the chaff, blow away all the things that are harmful in us, then we're busy dying. Another thing about worship renewal, you know, you can change, to go back to the difference between reforming and renewing, you can reform a lot of things about worship. You can change the songs you sing. You can change the order you do things in. You can change all kinds of dynamics, the structures of what you do, the styles of what you do. You can even shift some of the content in what you do. But if there's not a renewal going on from within, all you've done is move some pieces around. All you've done is rearrange the furniture in your house. You haven't necessarily made things better or made things more comfortable, more inviting to the Holy Spirit. We must be renewed. But we do it here in education through graduate academic praxis. Through graduate academic praxis. You have to always remember, this is a graduate program that you've gotten yourselves into. When you find yourself in the middle of the heat of battle and the iron is sharpening iron, that's what it's supposed to be. That's what a graduate program does. You get exposed to ideas that challenge you, make you uncomfortable, maybe irk you, that you think are wrong. You want to put on the gloves and slug it out with the person who's challenging you. That academic praxis, graduate academic praxis, is an exhilarating thing that I encourage us to lean into, to do it with open hearts and open minds. Be quick to challenge whatever. Wrestle with it. It's good. But academic graduate praxis is a difficult, challenging, messy, iron-sharpening iron thing. Proverbs 27:17. And it involves, as it says, praxis. I love that word. Do. Practice. Engage. The scripture says again and again that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He didn't just proclaim things. he actually did some things. We study, we learn, and we do. I don't know if any of you noticed on Facebook the other day, I was posting some things about what was going on here in the community, and a number of our alums and people who are in this community but not here were posting things back, and Dr. Jim Altizer, one of our alums out at Azusa Pacific, he said, tell them, don't just get the degree, don't just do the work and get the degree and get some letters by your name, tell them to do something. To do, to write, to blog, to do something, try to change. He said, we need every hand on deck to see the renewal that we so desperately need to see that come to pass. We must begin to do and to teach. But in all these things, however much we are renewed here, however much we find reformed in us here, when we go back to our contexts, we must remember to have the same attitude that Jesus had, described where we started yesterday in Philippians 2. Have this same attitude in you and in me that was in Christ Jesus, that of a doulos, a bondslave, a servant, with that sweet, sweet spirit of servanthood.